Welcome to the Project Love podcast. I'm Selena Barker.
And I'm Vicky Pavitt. In these podcasts, we explore what it takes to create a life, relationship, and career you love.
And not just one that looks good on the outside, but one that feels good on the inside.
Hello and welcome to a Project Love podcast. And today you have both of us here. And we're going to be talking about self-care. So thank you to Ruth, who suggested this over on Instagram. We put a shout out saying, what would you like the next topic to be all about? And at first I thought, oh, well, self-care, we've done that loads. But actually, we haven't done it for ages. And it's a really, it's always such an important one. It's not like you do self-care and then you're done, tick, on to the next thing. It's something that we always need to keep revisiting, but particularly when you're in a seasonal part of the world, I think with the change of seasons, for me, it's definitely one where my self-care activities really do change quite a lot. And so I've noticed the last few weeks that I'm just, teeing myself up, getting myself ready with my new self-care equipment, like bath oils and bath salts. So we thought it would be a great one to, just for us all together in this podcast, to just have a check-in on our self-care activities, reminding ourselves what we need to feel happy, alive and well in our bodies on a day-to-day basis, and make sure that we're, doing what we need to feel good in ourselves on a daily basis. So how about we start with hearing what you do, Vicky, as a, because I find it so interesting to hear what people do as their self-care routine or their self-care toolkit, how people approach self-care. So how do you do it?
So I've definitely dabbled in having a morning routine, and 2.5 years ago, I'd say it was pretty much every day, and probably stayed that way for about 18 months. Every single day I would journal and I would write 3 pages, just a stream of consciousness, free flow, gibberish, moaning sometimes, pity party for one. Whatever it is that I...
Be kinder, gibberish.
Well, but this is it. It's really interesting practice that I've been doing now for a few years, where I just sort of let myself just sort of voice those things that maybe I wouldn't say out loud. And, just the things that you think about when you wake up, like, oh, didn't get enough sleep last night, or, whatever's on your mind, really, it can go on the page. And then you're just done with it. You can move on. And I found it to be a really useful process for me to process what I'm feeling and what's going on for me at the time. Sometimes it's a really good tool for problem solving. If there's something on my mind and I need to sort of work through it, I have those 3 pages in the morning to work through things. And I always then take time for gratitude. So I started off doing 6 things that I was grateful for, and one of them needed to be about myself. So giving myself, a little pat on the back or an inner high five in the morning, and tell myself that I'm really proud of myself and that I'm really grateful to, what I'm learning or how I'm growing or whatever it is that day. And now those 6 things, sometimes I do 10, and sometimes there's 4 things about me and what I'm proud of myself for, which is amazing progress 2.5 years later. I wouldn't say that I'm particularly disciplined at the moment at doing it every single day. It's probably more like 3 or 4 times a week at the moment. And that's sort of, that's a good rhythm for me.
And do you always do it in the morning, or sometimes you do it in the evening, sometimes you do it at lunchtime?
Majority of the time in the mornings, but occasionally I'll have a little Saturday afternoon journal. So sometimes it's in the day, but on a weekday I'd say mornings, set the tone for the day, gratitude, taking stock and reflection.
And do you wake up and check in with like, what do I need to do for myself this morning? Yes, this morning it's journaling, or actually no, I'm not in the mood for it, I don't need to do it. Whether you have the time?
Yeah, journaling is my go-to when I have the time. Meditation has come back in. I've been meditating on and off for 7 years now. It was the first thing that I discovered.
For 7 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was the first thing that I discovered on my self-development, self-love journey. And totally fell in love with it. And then over the last few years, it's sort of slipped away, and I've been really craving it. I was actually writing in my journal a few days ago that I was just really craving a spiritual practice again, where I just let myself sort of sit, be mindful, and just check in with myself. And the body scan, oh, so good for me to do that. And I've been forgetting about it. And then recently that's come back in. So I will sit and do a guided meditation for 15 minutes in bed. And that also is really good for me to set the tone for the day and just have a check-in with myself, particularly if I have days when I'm really busy and I'm sort of, you know, get straight into the to-do list all day long. I realize that I need those check-ins at least once a day. Longer, really, I need, or more frequently, I need to have them. But yeah, those 15 minutes in the morning and journaling, if I have the time to do both, that's always good. And I'm not getting up at 6 a.m. to do these things. I probably was years before. If you'd have asked me years before, I was getting up at 6 and getting up really early to do them. But now I love my sleep so much.
I always get so annoyed by people who do that stuff. I've never been that person. And always thought for such a long time I needed to be that person. And I'm like, how do you have the discipline? Like, how do you be that person? And it's fine. I'm just not. But okay, you were.
It's true. You were.
I was.
Yeah. and then I have my big walks with my dog Buddy, or sometimes a little jog around the park. It's definitely a jog rather than a run.
Everyone jogs. You never see people do like full pelt running.
My husband.
Oh, okay.
He runs. Right. He goes for a run.
Oh, right.
I'm definitely a jog and a power walk breaks. but yeah, those things really help me to integrate the week, you know, having a weekend where I'm going on those big walks. And moving my body, I really need to do more of that. It's something that I'll do sort of once a week or so. And I really want to, an intention actually going forward is to do more of that at least twice a week. You know, have an activity that helps me to move my body. But yeah, on the weekends, I'll go and do like 3-hour walks around the park with my dog to just sort of integrate the week that I've just had and process it. It's a bit like at the end of yoga, Shavasana.
Oh, yeah.
Lie down right at the end where you've worked really hard during the class. Like that for me is those weekend walks.
And
just sort of let everything sort of integrate. And now that autumn is officially here just this week, I am really looking forward to more baths.
Vicky, you have baths all the time.
I do have baths all the time, but I'll probably have them more frequently now. Now that we're getting into the colder season, I do. I am an all-year-round bather, though.
But now you can have the candlelit baths because it's difficult in the summer because it's like you have to wait till like 10:30 at night to have your bath, to have like no light from outside.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting into that hygge, you know, the blankets and candles and coziness and early nights.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, it'd be lovely, won't it? Well, when I think it'll start getting dark at what time? Like 7? Oh, yeah, well, winter, yeah.
But yeah, autumn, not there yet.
It's about 7 o'clock in the autumn, I don't know.
Maybe. I literally couldn't tell you what time it goes dark now. But it's definitely before 8.
So we're going to have less light, shorter days, more time for being cozy and getting to bed or getting in your pajamas and early. Yeah.
So much time spent in bed in the winter. Actually, I was going to ask you about the journaling because you did seem to remember you telling me that for a while you journaled every single day and you really needed to, like for those 18 months, you needed to, you were going through, you know, a lot of self-development and growth. Mm. And then suddenly you were like, I don't need to do this anymore every day. Mm. Like, and I don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, isn't it? I think as well, that it's not just seasonal, but it's different self-care and well-being tools at different stages in your life when you need, you need different things.
Mm-hmm.
And what was it that sort of had you go stop doing so much journaling and sort of mixing up with other stuff?
I think I was just craving the variety. Mm. So, you know, if I've got a certain window of time in the mornings, how about one day I meditate?
Yeah.
And how about one day I go for a jog around the park? And knowing that I can't always do all those things every day, because then I can also get stuck into perfectionism, which is so... which is really interesting. And I've noticed myself, I even the other week spotted it because I had spent, I was like, right, this week I'm going to do loads of self-care, loads of self-love. And I realized that I'd spent about 3 hours one weekday doing self-care activities. And then I was like, this is too much. I made the juice. I made the green juice. I went for a run. I did my journaling, meditated. It's a
part-time job.
All the things. I did all of the things that I know nourish me in one morning slot where I could have actually spread it out over the whole week. And so I have to keep an eye on whether I go too far. And so I realized you're slipping into perfectionism with this again. And so I scaled back and just realizing that what I do need is at least one thing in the morning is just for me. And those things could be any of those things I just said. It could be the journaling, it could be the bath, it could be the gratitude, it could be jog around the park, meditation. And I can do one of them and then get on with my day. But just one of them really helps me to check in. It's just checking in with myself before the day begins and before I open up emails and open up WhatsApp. You know, let's have a moment for myself.
Yeah. And it's so important, that, isn't it? Because I think that was my big lesson quite a few years back. I always had this idea of what, you know, like I talk about that morning routine, the ultimate place where I should be getting myself to and the kind of person I should be, the kind of person like alarm goes off at 6 a.m. Oh, and I rise out of bed and I have my hot water and my lemon and the yoga mat's waiting for me and I get on the yoga mat and I do my yoga and then I do my meditation and then the morning pages and next thing, you know, I step into the day looking fabulous with my intentions set for the day. And I was just like, fuck, even before I had a kid, even when I was single and lived on my own and had like all the time was like dictated by me. Even then I didn't manage it. So it was just like, then I was just like, I have no excuse not to do this every day. But I think that was just so spurred on by that perfectionism and trying to be a person that I'm not. But also routine has never been my thing. Variety is what I like. And some mornings I want to get up early and some mornings I want to lie in and some mornings I want to get up and I want to move. And other mornings I'm just like, I want to be get up slowly and journal or some mornings I've just got a meeting I've got to get to and off I go and, you know, grab a coffee running out the door and get breakfast on the way. So, but I like that and I like that variety. Now that I've got a son, I need to get him up. I need to get him to school. Again, there isn't really any opportunity for any of those things. But I will say it's not because of that I don't have the morning routine. It's because I'm just not a morning routine person. So I love the idea of just having this toolkit that I can choose from and finding, you know, self-care hacks like journaling. I've talked about this before. I now do, what do you call it? Voice journaling?
Audio journaling.
Audio journaling. Oh, it sounds really smart when you say it like that.
I'm pretty sure you said it
first. I didn't. I just use my voice notes to record myself talking things out. I'm the kind of person that to figure stuff out, I need to talk it out. So yeah, you could call a friend. Sometimes I'll do that. Sometimes I'll meet up with a friend or we'll do a sister circle and really get to, you know, talk deep into things. And these podcasts really a big part of that for me as well. I love talking, getting deep into conversation. It's very nourishing for me. And it helps me also process stuff. But, you know, if I want to just do it like, right, just on the fly, I need to just talk this through now myself, I'll do it on a voice note. And that's my version of journaling. And I record it. And that is like as if I'm recording on a page. That really helps. Running, I still don't enjoy it. I've got back into it and done it for a month over summer and I still don't enjoy it. So if you've not heard me talk about running before, I've always struggled with exercise. And my body, I was really looking into just how to energize yourself and stay energized and de-stressed. And it kept coming up again and again, the importance of cardio exercise, whatever that looks like to you. And really the only thing available to me is running or like you say, jogging, because it's something easier. Just put my shoes, run, park, can listen to a podcast. I still don't get the rush of endorphins. I don't get any of that. And the other day I went for a run, half hour run, and I had to will my way through it. I didn't enjoy one second of it, but I did it. So I'm getting there with it. It's still a weird one, but I am so grateful for it because it energizes me. For such a long time, I struggled with feeling sort of sluggish all the time and just like, it's just fatigued all the time. And my partner kept saying to me, you need to do exercise. And I was just like, I'm too tired to do exercise. You and I both have had this said to us a million times.
We have the same conversations.
With our partners.
Yeah.
And they're right. So it's a funny old one because I don't necessarily enjoy doing it every time I do it, but it makes such a difference. It makes such a difference. And so often I'll come out of it calmer, the stress is gone, the anxiety of whatever I was, you know, has gone. Even if I'm feeling fine, I just feel energized. Or if I had a long day in front of the computer, I feel like I've woken up again and I'm ready for the next part of the day.
Yeah.
That's a really important one. And sleep. Sleep. It is all about the sleep. Because I have so much packed into my day, the only way I am able to just, you know, be fine with it and manage it and not get overwhelmed by it and exhausted by it is by having 8 to 9 hours of sleep a day. That's what I do. And it's so important. It's so precious to me. That's become a huge part of my well-being. I don't know what else I do. Sleep, the journaling. And I think also, I do think just taking the time to have deep conversations, like it really does. It nourishes me in a way that you can't get to those spots any other way.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah. It's just like really soul nourishing. And that's a really important part. So there's the energy, the body nourishment, there's the sleep, there's the voice notes for processing stuff. And then, there's the deep conversations just about life and love, which is the whole premise of this podcast. So thank goodness we have this, which is the soul nourishment. And now we're getting into autumn. It's all about the baths. So I went out, I got my bath salts, I got my bath oils, I'm getting ready, getting the candles ready. I can't do baths in the summer. I don't know how you do it. I certainly can't do a bath in the morning. It doesn't feel right to me at all. Baths are they're just so important to me in the winter. They're just a way of relaxing my body, relaxing my mind. I think also because particularly when it gets into winter, quite braced for the cold.
Yeah.
So I think getting in, you want to warm your bones, but also just relax the muscles from like tensing against the freezing cold.
Yeah.
But I do really like kind of thinking about, you know, the coming season and what new activities specific to that season are going to be coming in as a result. So yeah, I'm really looking forward to the baths and getting into bed earlier. So
I just wanted to go back to your thing about running, because I just find it so inspiring that you realised that you didn't have to like it.
I run and I hate it.
But what? That's such a good realisation, because I too have the same thing with exercise as well. And I just love that. And that really inspired me over the summer, seeing that you were doing it anyway. Even if I don't like it, I'm going to get my ass out there to the park and I'm going to go for a run around. And I just think that's great. And the feeling afterwards of having that willpower to push yourself and do something that you didn't want to do, I always feel so proud of myself afterwards. If I've like, you know, had the willpower to just push on anyway,
yeah,
and do it, knowing that it'll be good for me.
Yeah. And I will say that the last time I went for a run, it had been about a month since I'd been for a run. So I was out of practice and I kind of, gone back to like, wow, I really don't want to do this. But I have had, since I began this, probably in the spring, I think, so probably about 6 months ago, I have had moments where actually I've really craved going for a run and really enjoyed it. Usually the first 5 minutes, I'm just like, oh God, how much longer have I got to go? But there have been moments where I've really enjoyed it. And what I also do is I like to check in to see which different parts of me are kind of in the ether. So I'll be like, who's in there? And I'll have this conversation with the different parts of my head, different sides of me. and just see what's going on internally, sort of like a bit of a visualization as I run. And that's really, so then I love that, because then it's like deep, you know, getting into the depths of yourself work while also going for a run and it working together. But yeah, I don't totally hate it. I think if I really hated it, then it would be crazy to carry on. But yeah, a lot of the time I'm not really over the moon about the idea of doing it. And I dread to think what's going to happen in, as the cold comes in. But it does. Well, my whole thing, my realization was that you don't wait to be really excited about brushing your teeth to do it every day.
Mm.
So, you know, it's kind of the same thing. I know it does. It's good for my body and it's really good for my mental health.
Yeah.
That's reason enough.
Yeah.
And it's there and it's accessible. I don't need to book in a class. I don't need to pay for something. I can drop Sammy off at school and then go for a run in the park around the corner. I can fit it in.
Yeah.
And so until I'm living by the sea and paddleboarding is a better option, I'm just going to have to keep running.
Yeah. I started my day in my gym kit because I knew I needed to, I had a deadline in the morning, but I put my kit on first, did my morning, and then I went off in the afternoon and ran around then. And it was just a good reminder for me to just put the leggings on, put the stuff on, and then it's harder then to convince myself out of it.
Exactly.
Maybe I don't need to do this.
Oh, God, as you're slipping off your sports clothes, totally unused.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, God. Yeah, exactly. So I think, you know, self-care, particularly at the beginning, particularly when you are like so many people, and particularly so many women, you don't make your well-being and your happiness a top priority. You are right at the bottom of your to-do list. I think at first, you know, this is why I call it life design, is that you, and using your calendar to book this stuff in, because it's not going to be a top priority. So, you know, if you're left to your own devices, so if you're like, no, I really do want to make this a priority, then you do at first have to be putting alarms on and booking stuff in, maybe going for a run, you know, if it's running, go for a run with a friend, or go to that yoga class with a friend, or maybe with a friend going, like, let's each try to meditate twice this week for 10 minutes and we'll kind of, you know, support one another. And it's really important to recognize that, God, at the start of my journey, say this was about 10 years ago, of actually starting to look after my well-being, even to think about self-care and well-being, I really had to schedule everything in. Even like, I remember scheduling in a 20-minute break in the day to do nothing, and it was like revolutionary, the idea that I would stop doing some work and I would just do nothing and rest. So, you know, I think now it is a lot easier for me because I want to. And I do check in with myself a lot more. And my well-being is now a natural, much higher priority on my to-do list. But in the early days, I did have to do a lot of scheduling, alarms on, getting the help of other people to support me in that.
Mm-hmm.
So I am thinking, you know what I am considering? Don't anyone hold me to this. But maybe a few sessions with a personal trainer. Just because someone was saying to me, because I'm almost 40, they were saying after 40, you really need to do like strength training because, you know, women's bones are starting to like disintegrate from the age of 40 or something like that, something horrifying. So I thought actually maybe getting a session with a personal trainer so that I know what I'm doing is the very best for my body and learning about it.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, talking of body and learning about it, what I did want to you to share about a little bit was your cycles.
Yes.
Like understanding your...
Yes.
Your menstrual cycle.
My menstrual cycle, yes. So I remember having a session with an amazing healer and coach called Gail Loveshock. And I think it was back in 2017 and she had asked me, at some point in the session, where are you on your cycle? And I was like, ah? What? I don't
get... What cycle's that?
I don't have a cycle because...
Of course.
At the time, I had the contraceptive coil and some people don't have cycles. And it's not always the case.
Yeah.
But I didn't, and I hadn't had a cycle for about 2 years at that time. And I sort of didn't think there was... an issue with that. And I think, you know, what we're taught growing up is that, like, periods, they have this very negative connotation. And if you can, there's a way to stop them and stop those uncomfortable, you know, the uncomfortable PMS phase of your cycle, then, you know, that's worth doing. And so I guess I was sort of thinking, I don't have a cycle now, but it's, I'm not noticing, I'm not missing it. But it got me thinking, I started thinking about, you know, started tuning into my body more and realizing actually I have no idea where my body sort of is on its on its journey, because I'm sort of not able to have a natural cycle at the moment. So I stopped using the coil and I made the decision to use natural cycles, which is where you take your temperature every day to see where you are in your cycle. And over those 2.5 years or so that I've been doing, I've really got to know my body and the cycles that I'm in, and also really learning about productivity and realizing that I'm not going to be, my brain isn't actually optimized for the same activities week after week, because we have a 28-day cycle, whereas men will have a 24-hour cycle. So they start the day with this shot of testosterone, and it's pretty consistent, generally speaking, whereas we women have a 28-day on average, 28-day cycle. And I was just learning so much, particularly from Gail, and also from a woman called Elisa Vitti, who wrote Woman Code, and she's got Flow Living, which is an amazing resource and platform to educate yourself on this stuff. So I started that journey of looking into it and realizing that, you know, there'll be 1 week where I'm ovulating, where my brain is optimized for being more visible and being out there, and it's primed for output and producing more higher creativity during that time. And then there'll be a week just before your period called the luteal phase, which is where you're actually primed for more sort of, you know, activities where you're going inwards more, retreating, being less visible, being focused and just, you know, going through your to-do list. Or as I noticed, that's much more the time when I want to create a spreadsheet and do some project management and make plans and start sort of mapping things out for the month ahead. I naturally want to be in a spreadsheet and work through my to-do list during that week. But during another week in what's called the follicular cycle, which is just after your period, you're not really wanting to sit down and focus or be in a spreadsheet or do that project management. You actually want to be around people. You want to be doing more creative things. And you can actually just get a lot more done. And it's easier. In my experience, it's been easier for me to get things done during those weeks, those sort of first 2 weeks after my period.
Yeah.
And so it's been fascinating to learn about that. And there's a great TED talk by Elisa Vitti called Loving Your Lady Parts that gives a really good overview of what I'm talking about. But that's really helped me to know when I'm going to be more primed for certain things in my, you know, in my week. And sometimes it's not always possible. Sometimes, you know, there is a week where I just need to sort of get on with my, you know, have some focus time to get things done. And maybe I'm not sort of, my body doesn't want to do that, so I have to work against it sometimes.
Yeah.
But, you know, where possible, I'm really trying to implement all of these sort of learnings and insights. And it's fascinating.
And I think I'm now in the position where I'm not aware of my cycle. I do find it really interesting, and also you can do it with the moon cycle.
Yeah.
What I find really valuable, and at some point I'd like to spend a bit more time tuning in to see if I can notice the difference, and if my energy levels do seem to go in accordance with the cycle. But it's just recognizing that you're not supposed to have the same consistent energy day after day after day after day, like men do.
Yes.
That actually, you know, some weeks I notice it's a lot harder for me to get on with all the stuff I've got to do. And other weeks I'm buzzing off it.
Yeah.
You know, and so recognizing that. And I think if you do get into the cycles, and I was reading Kate Northrup's new book, what's it called again? Do Less. No.
Yeah, Do Less.
Do Less. Actually, it's just Do Less. I think Do Less, Achieve More. No. Just Do Less.
I've just bought that after your recommendation, and I know you were talking about it and how helpful it's been.
So I scribbled many notes, and it's really about, is basically about productivity and doing things and making things happen, but also really looking after your well-being. And she does a whole section on, you know, your cycle and how you can incorporate that. And I think even if your work schedule, the way you work, doesn't allow for you to have, oh, this week I'm going to just go inwards into my red tent and just think deeply about things. And on week three, I'm going to go out there and meet people. And your boss is just like, no, that is not, we can't. I mean, and also, you know, if you've got a, you know, an office full of, I don't know, 60 women, then it's going to be, anyway, it just could get complicated. But I think if you look at where you do have more control, which is over your out of work time, then, you know, it's what you do with your evenings. So in the phase where it's the going inward, you're going to have sort of less energy to be out there in the world, then have more evenings in doing nice nourishing things. Mm-hmm. And then the weeks where you know you're in that kind of ovulating, get out there and you've got energy to be with people, then book in seeing friends or going to gigs or whatever it is you like to do in those phases, or maybe in the one which is the kind of more dreamer, bigger picture phase just after you got your period, you know, go to art galleries and go and get inspired and kind of allow yourself to dream, and then, you know, do that tax spreadsheet in week three or whatever it is.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you can sort of be doing it that way. And I think, but it's just, it's so interesting as well, just the understanding that the way we work and the way we look at work is based on the male 24-hour cycle.
Yeah.
And women, whether you're aware of your cycle or not, because I'm not, you do have a 28-day cycle, or roughly, and your energy levels are prone to changing because of that cycle. Obviously, other factors as well are going to be included in that. You know, Mercury in retrograde, for example. Throw that into the mix. No, but other factors are going to, you know, impact on that. It's not just going to be that. But I think it's such an interesting one, particularly if you do get really affected by your menstrual cycle.
Yeah.
Then it's particularly important to understand how to manage that. But not in, and it's not about going, oh, well, when I've got my period, I just need to kind of retreat from the world. It's actually using it and recognizing that each phase has its real potency and its strength. So it's not about, oh, God, how do I manage my low energy weeks? It's actually going, no. Those feel like low energy if you're trying to get out there doing loads of stuff. But if you use them as weeks where you go inwards, then you're really, it's easier to connect with your depths and your deeper side. So it's recognizing the power of each of those phases, which I think is really important.
Exactly. So during your period, you actually have more connectivity between your left and right brain hemispheres. So you are actually, as you just said, there is such power in going inwards then and reflecting and taking stock or setting your intentions. That's a really good few days or week to do that.
God, it's so fascinating when you start to explore this stuff, and you just realize, that's the beauty of it though, is realizing the magic that tapping into your cycle actually can bring with it, rather than it being, you know, a hindrance.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we can see it like that, as like, oh God, you know, but actually I didn't know that about the left and right hemisphere. Amazing.
So it feels like you're being irrational during that time, but there's truth in what you're thinking and feeling during that time, but there's just a high frequency of those thoughts. So you can trust, I can't remember who said this, maybe it was Kate Northrup in an interview, you can trust what you're sort of feeling and thinking during that time, but maybe not the frequency of those thoughts and feelings, and that's why it can feel irrational. But there's quite often some truth in what comes up during that particular phase.
So if you're wanting to use this as an opportunity to kind of assess your self-care toolkit, your well-being toolkit, or if you don't have one, you think, actually maybe I need one of these, just ask yourself a few simple questions, like, what do I know I need to feel energized in my body? Like, what activities help you to feel energized? What activities, what practices help you to feel calm and grounded? Maybe starting the day, you know, like Vicky does meditation. What helps you to unwind at the end of any day, but particularly a stressful day? What helps you in those moments of stress or anxiety, or even lethargy, feeling, you know, low energy? What helps you to kind of get back into a good place?
And just, yeah, just write your answers and think about if there's anything you've never tried that you'd actually quite like to give it a go. And just start, what I used to have for quite a while is I answered those questions and then I had them on a piece of A4 paper on my wall, wellbeing toolkit. And then it just helped as a really good visual reminder. Mm. Oh yeah, what are the things I need? Oh yeah, loads of water. Hey, actually, that is one. Lots of water. Oh, yes. Real simple stuff really makes a difference. It's just the visual reminders, because it's amazing how quickly, you know, they say that we can only retain, I think it's 7 things in our short-term memory, give or take 2. So some people can only retain 5, some people 9, but not more than that. Mm-hmm. So you've got all your to-do lists in your head. You're not going to be holding on to your well-being toolkit as well. So just having something on the wall that you look at and go, oh yeah, I should do one of those things. Easiest thing for me is always have a drink of water. And give that a try. And if you're really new to self-care and well-being, then like I was saying before, use your calendar, use alarms, use friends to help support you, and start small. Just start with 1 or 2 things a week.
Yeah.
And make it something that's easy for you to fulfill on your commitment. So don't be like, right, I'm going to start with 30 minutes of meditation every day. No, just try 10 minutes once or twice a week and then slowly build up. So it's better to over deliver than to never hit your target. Mm-hmm. Come and let us know what you do to get ready for self-care as the colder months come in. Reading, that's another one.
Oh yeah, I'm really excited about reading under the blanket. Candles flickering away.
Oh yeah.
Just thought of another one, decluttering. I'm going to have a real good declutter of my wardrobe drawers and have a bit of an autumn clean. It's funny, isn't it? We always say spring clean, but it's never the autumn clean.
I think every season is a good time. It's a good time for reassessing, decluttering.
Yeah.
And
taking stock.
Listening to the Project Love podcast. We really hope you enjoy this episode, and if you did, then come and subscribe on iTunes and we'll deliver each new episode straight to your device. And we would love it if you would leave us a review to help us spread the love far and wide. And if you can't think of anything to write, then just tap 5 stars and say best podcast ever. Thank you.